Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 5. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said: about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah has conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today we get the continuation of a four-week chunk of Romans. We're following through Romans, of course, this whole summer, but we've had this big block that started with this idea of family, where we're invited to call God, Abba, Father, and pray and talk to him. Then the next week we got to talk about how sometimes when we are told we can pray to God, we just don't have the words for it because we are that far down and low. And we are blessed with the Holy Spirit that is the one who speaks to God, for the Father, for us through words that are inexpressible. And last week, we got to hear that God, our Heavenly Father, is never going to be separated from us by any outside force. There is nothing that could keep God the Father from loving you because of what he's done for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then today, we get another look at this family that we have in faith. And this wrapping this whole thing together, this chosen family that God figured out long before we were ever born. A family that looks different than the world would imagine. And not just the world today, but even historically speaking, the world would not make sense of how God has put together this family. In our reading from Romans, we get an image of this through Jacob and Esau. It helps to remember their story a little bit, right? There's this verse at the very end of our reading in Romans chapter 9, verse 13, where it says, "As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." Now, I read that verse a lot when I was a kid, and like, man, I don't know how that works, but I sure don't want to be hated by God. I don't know if you've ever had a question about this one before, but we have an image for you there in your bulletin or up on the screen. You got the picture of their father, Isaac, blessing Jacob instead of Esau. If you can put yourself back in the story, right, Esau's not outside the tent looking in, but how do you fit all three of them into one picture, right? So, you got Isaac, who's blind, he's coming to the end of his life. There's this blessing that's been given to him from his father, this blessing that would pass through the whole family, that the Savior of the world would come through this family, and that through this line, there would be this blessing, this offspring that would take care of the whole world. Now, this blessing comes with more things to it, but suffice to say, you really want to have it. You may recall these brothers, Esau and Jacob, they're twins. Esau came out first, Jacob grabbing onto his heel. So calling Esau the older brother, he probably enjoyed lording that over his little brother, you know, all of 5 seconds later. But the older brother is the one who should be receiving the gift, the promised blessing from God. This is what all of human nature in their region had been understanding for a long time. If you're going to pass down the blessing, it goes to the next in line. So Esau should have it and Jacob shouldn't. You guys may then recall that this is also the pair of guys who are a little bit different. Esau likes going out and hunting. He's big and burly, feels a little bit like a bear if you just touch his arms. I've seen your arms. Very Esau. I thought I was hairy. No. You know, by the way, we could have you be like maybe a prop or a skit during our VBS. It'd be great. Esau, big burly dude, likes to go out hunting. Comes back from hunting. He's exhausted. He's famished. He's starving. And there is his brother Jacob making a pot of stew. And he's like, "Give me some. I'm going to die here. I've been out hunting too long." Must not have been a good hunting trip, I suppose. But he's starving. And here he's like, "Give me some soup. I'll give it to you if you give me your birthright." I mean, I've seen siblings in action sometimes. "Give me that thing that you have. Sure, I'll trade you for this other thing." Going straight to your birthright is a pretty big jump for a bowl of soup. Esau takes it. It must have been a really good soup. I don't know. We have some chefs in the church, but I don't know. Jacob seems to have a pretty good, you know, corner on the market, at least for soup. At least more than a can of tuna. Sorry, Marty. Esau gives up his birthright. He says, "I don't want it. I want this soup." Jacob takes it. Now, shockingly, when it comes time to pass down this birthright, this blessing that's supposed to go to the oldest child, it's like they've forgotten the deal that was made. Esau had said, "I don't want it. You can have it." Jacob said, "I will gladly take it. Here's your soup." And now it comes time to receive this blessing. Isaac is there, unable to see anymore. Jacob wants to have the blessing. His mom even helps him out in this. He says, "Why don't you put some extra, you know, animal fur on your arms and go in there and throw on your best Esau voice, and well, you can deliver the best, you know, the same meal that Isaac really loves, your father really loves. Go and do that." And sure enough, he tricks his father. His father gives him the blessing. So he receives now this promised blessing from God through the family. He gets out of Dodge, and here comes Esau. "Hey, Dad, I brought you your food. I'm ready for the blessing now." "Well, I just gave it to you. What are you doing here?" So Isaac realizes he's been fooled, but it's already been done. The blessing's passed on to this next in line, not because of him being a particularly great character. He's a little shady about it. Allegedly, it's now given to him because Esau gave it over, but he gets it in not the kindest of ways. And yet, God still says, "I'm going to use that brother. I'm going to use Jacob, and the blessing will flow through him." What an interesting thing, then, for us to hear as Paul's talking about this great family that we all love, this promised blessing that we get to be a part of. you have a connection to Jacob. You have a connection to Isaac, to Abraham. You are connected to this family, we hear, in a very different way. In a way that the Israelites of the day, of their day would not have appreciated. This gospel message, this promised blessing, was supposed to, they thought, go through this one family to this one family, that they would have it. And then we get to hear that the Israelites had that blessing, but now a different family, really actually the same family with a different understanding, a second family, the younger or perhaps even you could say lesser family, at least in the world's eyes, gets to have the blessing. It would look like the adopted family of Christianity that's full of a bunch of Gentiles. It would look weird. Why are they the ones that get God's blessing? Didn't he say, I'll be your God and you'll be my people to the Israelites? Why would he say, the family of faith, the one that gets the blessing, is now the second child in the family? If the Israelites are the first one, then all these Gentiles, why would they get to be the ones that receive the blessing? Because God had a plan that was different than the world understood. From the beginning, he knew that he would have you be a part of his family, not just through blood lineage, but through this family of faith. A family that says, I see the blessing and I want to have the blessing. And we're so thankful that God has brought us into that blessing, that he has given us a desire for it, that he's given us his Holy Spirit, that he's given us baptism to bring us into his family. I mentioned it a little bit last week because I was preparing you for VBS. I'll say it again so you can get your VBS song stuck in your head. I'll say it now, and if you're here volunteering, you'll forget all about it because I'm sure we'll have new VBS songs. But this is where we get the song. Does anyone remember it? Father Abraham, there we go, had many sons. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. We won't do the right arm, left arm. We're in chairs. It'd be a problem. Thank you. I was saving the whole song for today. I just mentioned it last week. It's okay. We have the same Father. We were told a few weeks ago, right? Our Heavenly Father. We also have the same Father in the faith here on earth. Our connection is to Abraham. You are connected to that promised blessing. Here in Romans chapter 9, talking about these Israelites and talking about now the people who receive this blessing. We'll pick up in verse 4. Well, I'll give you more Bible. We'll pick up in verse 3. I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul says, I wish that I was the one cut off because of all of the other Israelites who don't know God, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit. I wish I could be cut off and that they could be saved. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. To them is the blessing, the patriarchs, the fathers of the faith, even Jesus Christ, born in that family. This blessing is for them. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. Not everyone is the offspring or the children of this blessing just because they have the blood lineage. There's something more at play. It's not as the world would see. Look, there's the family. God said he gave it to Abraham, and if you're not connected to that family, you're not in the blessing. There's a different thing happening. The end of verse 8 here. The children of the promise are counted as offspring. the children of the promise of a Savior, the promise that through this family, this one family, the Savior of the world would come. And if we are baptized into Christ, we are now children of the promise. You are children of the promised Savior. You're in that vein, in that connection. This brings us back to why we can call God Abba, Father. Paul's putting this all together in one package. Never doubt that you are a part of everything he promised in the Old Testament. All of God's blessings, all of his promises are meant for you. Everything in God's word was designed to bring you into this family here, that he might bring you to your heavenly home with him without pain or suffering, where you can speak to him and he can be there to comfort you. So back to then Jacob and Esau. The brother who was supposed to receive the promise, the older one who was growing up his whole life, this is yours, you get to have it. God's blessing through you. Now finds out that the blessing is passed to a different group, a different individual. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Now I wanted to do some research on this for you. I was going to give you a good Greek word to tell you, well, hated doesn't mean God specifically said, Esau, sorry buddy, I don't like you anymore, you're gone. God didn't do that, and God, that's not what it means. I looked at the Greek word, though. Meseo is what it's built off of. Meseo means hate. So you can't just find it in the word itself that God says, oh, no, I didn't mean to say the word hate. No, he meant to use that word. It's not that God specifically hated Esau, though, and that he loved Jacob more. This is language used to say, I've decided that this one would have the blessing, and this one I have decided will not have the blessing. It is, I have shown love and favor. I have shown a cutting off, a removal from, to this one. Jacob has been elevated from the lower position to be put in the position of receiving the blessing. The one who should have received the blessing would feel as if hated, removed from the blessing. Esau, who by birthright, I'll give it 4 seconds, maybe not even 5 seconds, has been removed from getting what he thought he should have. It is God's to give as he would see fit. Just as God would transfer the blessing to Jacob, the blessing is transferred off of a bloodline to a family of faith, such that you can look to God and say, Abba, Father. That you can come to him in good and bad. You can say, thank you, Father, for all that I have. You can say, Father, why am I going through this right now? Please help me. And as you walk oftentimes through the valley of the shadow of death, trust that the same God who's been promising to be with his people from way back when he said, Abraham, get up and go. I'm taking you to a new land. I'm going to give you a huge family, a family that will be a blessing to all the nations, that will call all the nations to you, that will call all the nations to this faith that you have. All of that's a part of your history. Your Heavenly Father has brought you into an amazing family with a rich and wonderful history of blessings, support and encouragement, seeing his family through all sorts of trials, and saying, I will be with you till the very end of the age. And may that peace continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Amen.